And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and what comes from my heart be without a doubt the word of God for this moment for all of us. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. And amen. From the counsel of John the Apostle, we've already found out that a genuine child of God will do everything he can to keep the commands of God. We've also discovered, also in our study, that he will strive to love his fellow believer and those around him with agape. He will make an intentional effort to make sure that he's always growing up in Christ, and he will not, as we found out last week, have a passion for the things of this world. His focus, not his glance, will be on Jesus Christ. And so now John now turns his attention directly to the Gnostics of the Ephesian church when he counsels and he says to the people, guard against the Antichrist. Little A. Because you see, the true tests of knowing God in a Christian's life, one of the things that Christian will do, that child of God will do, is he will constantly guard against those against Christ in his life. Hope you have your Bibles in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. It says, children, my little children, actually, it's the last hour. And as you've heard, the Antichrist, capital A. The Greek uses the definite article. We write it as H-O. We pronounce it. It's really one letter almost in Greek. It's an omicron. It's a zero. Has a little accent mark over the top of it. That's an upside-down apostrophe turned the other way. And it makes that sound like a ha or H sound. And so the definite article is the ha. And it's used intentionally here. As you've heard, the Antichrist is coming. But even now, many little a Antichrists have come. And because of that, we know it's the last hour. You see, these Antichrists went out from us. They didn't belong to us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us. Verse 20. But you, believers, true, genuine believers, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you have knowledge. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is a liar if not the one who denies that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? The one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son can have the Father, and he who confesses the Son has the Father as well. Wow. The fifth way we know that we love God is that we are always guarding against those that oppose Christ. Anyone or any group that opposes Jesus Christ. And isn't it obvious today that in the society of the 21st century in America, we are filled with antichrists? And the word is plural, many, not singular at this point. And so John's speaking of false teachers. Let me ask you something. Are we guarding ourselves both in and outside the church against these antichrists? These false teachers and teachings that are coming into your life. We must check them out according to the will of God, and in particular the words of counsel that John is going to share with us this morning. And turning our attention to the Word, I want to show you four things that John tells every one of us that we must do. Great, practical, spiritual counsel in our life. And here's the first one. It's found in verse 18. It's the warning against Antichrist, little A right now. What did he say? Children, it's the last hour. And as you've heard, the Antichrist is coming, but even many antichrist, antichristos in the Greek plural, have come. And this is how we know it's the last hour, because they're all showing up. This is the only time "it is the last hour" is used in the New Testament. John uses it. He speaks once again, as I've said, as a father to children. He uses the word for child, technia, in the Greek, which is a very small child, just beyond infancy. He does not use the Greek word paideia. Paideia is a growing child, more of a young person. But he says to the people in the church, "My little children, it is the last hour." They are facing a critical period in their life as a church. This false teaching, a teaching that stirs doubts and unbelief and denial, Gnosticism. These Gnostics are beginning to destroy the church from within, and most likely the Ephesian church, because historical records tell us that John lived in Ephesus after his ministry, later in the first century. What did the Gnostics believe? Remember, all matter is evil and all spirit is good. Remember that? They said that you can only know God through a special revelation, gnosis, the Greek word for knowledge, that is given to you and only to a select few by Jesus. Gnostics generally distinguished between an inferior God, little g, whom they felt was responsible for creation, and a superior God revealed in Jesus as the Redeemer. See how they're trying to keep an even keel with this thing just a little bit? For the Gnostic, faith was inferior to knowledge. And then for the Gnostic, you had a secret language. A secret language that you must adhere to, and you only know this secret language when you, if you've been given it by God Himself through Jesus, and you are a part of the true church, which is what they call Gnosticism. And John so spoke up and says, "You're a heresy. You're wrong. And I'm going to show you why." And boy, did it. Listen to me closely. Write this statement down in your brain and in your heart. A true believer will seek out the truth and not a lie. Three things I want you to see about this verse. Number one is that believers must know that it is the last time. What was the last hour in Jewish time? They were on 12-hour timetables. And they began at midnight and ran till 12 hours later. Simply 12-hour schedules. But for the last hour is always referred to as midnight. Hence the word the midnight hour. The song, the midnight cry. The moment just before Jesus Christ comes to return and take His church back. It is the last hour. This is the only time it occurs. And from my study throughout the years, I am convinced that the last hour refers to the time period between Jesus' first coming and His second coming on this earth. Let me explain. The time of Adam was not the last hour. The time of Abraham was not the last hour, nor was the time of Moses, or the time of David, or the time of Ezra. The time between Jesus' first coming and His second coming is an idiom that is used in the New Testament to refer to this time period called the last hour. Months ago, I preached a sermon from the book of Daniel dealing with his 70 weeks prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. And we know that from those words in Daniel chapter 9, that following the cross, the very next thing on God's eschatological calendar, end time calendar, is the very rapture of the church. You can read about it, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following. There are no signs to the rapture. It's going to happen in a split second, in the twinkling of an eye, and this could be that day. But since the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, the time is in the hands of God when He'll tap His Son on the shoulder and say, "Go get your bride, and we will be snatched away to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And nothing in hell or this world will stop it once God puts it in motion." It is the last hour. John says, you better also know that believers must know that it is time for the Antichrist. Capital A. At the close of this last hour, we are told that an evil, satanic man will rise to power on this earth. One rule government will become his norm. He will be Satan's ruler on his earth, and he will become the most powerful dictator this world has ever seen. John is making the distinction in these verses by telling the church that there will come a time at the close of this last hour that this evil man is going to rise to power. He is real with evil power such as this world has never known. The Bible says in the book of Revelation is that he'll rule this earth for 7 years. The first 3.5 years, this is all known as the tribulation. The first 3.5 years will be years that this one will gain the trust of the people. But in the middle of that 7 years, the Bible says that he himself will walk into the holiest place he can go into. That's the Holy of Holies in the temple. He will desecrate that. And my friend, when he comes out of there, he will be Satan's rule on this earth. We're given supernatural powers, and no one on this earth can defeat him. The Bible calls that the Great Tribulation. John says that the true child of God will be alert to the fact that the forerunners of the Antichrist are Antichrists, little a, and they are springing up everywhere. I'm always asked, people say, Randy, you think the Antichrist could be born now? Without a doubt. But I don't know that for sure. Third thing I want to tell you about this verse here is, how do we know that we are truly living on the edge? You hear me talk about that a lot. You say, I believe, and we're living on the edge of the edge. The Bible says it specifically, the forerunners, the Antichrists are here. But even more than simple the Antichrist, ladies and gentlemen, what's scaring me is that people are rising to power and they're calling themselves the Messiah. The Bible says, for the genuine child of God, run from such teaching. They are denying the deity of Christ. They are denying that he's the sinless Son of God. They are denying his death and resurrection. They are denying his lordship. And they are denying the fact that he'll even return to this earth. Wow. My little children, it is the last hour. Guard against false teachers. Don't listen to them. Run from them. And always be ready wherever you go to give a biblical response to those antichrists in this world. The Bible's very specific in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give apologetics, a defense. That's what the word means, to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Wow. That's the warning against. There's a second thing I want to tell you this morning that John says, and he says the origin of the Antichrist in verse 9. Folks, this is scary right here. Now, he's preaching to the church, just like I'm standing in front of you all, and he says that these Antichrists in verse 19, they went out from among us, but they didn't belong to us, because if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us. John's not talking about the capital Antichrist. He's talking about those false teachers. Where did they originate? From within the church. John's talking to the Ephesian church. False teachers are teachers within the church. They hold positions of leadership. That's exactly what John said. They went out from among us, but they were not of us. They were within the church, but they were not true believers. They did not honestly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. They, yes, professed Christ. They were baptized. They perhaps even joined the church. But in their hearts, they know. They do not believe it. They even became teachers. Some have even become ministers. But the Bible says they are not true believers. Antichrist. Wow. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are raging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Their grapes are gathered from thorn bushes and figs and thistles. In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. Then he goes on to say, not everyone in that day who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of God, of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And then I will say, depart from me. I never knew you. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine anymore, but according to their own desires, they will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. In other words, they want their ears comforted by what they want to hear. They will turn away from the truth and will turn aside to all myths. The origin of the Antichrist is that they went out from among us. Does that scare you? To hear words like that? Wow. It's the third thing this morning. But there is a protection against the Antichrist. Folks, this part's exciting. Verses 20 and 21, you have anointing from the Holy One, and all of you have that knowledge. Those that have that knowledge. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but I'm writing to you because you know it, and no lie comes from the truth. God gives the believer two protections, and the first one, the Bible says, he gives us an anointing. That word anointing in the Greek is simply chrisma. Now, not charisma, which is a gift, a spiritual gift, a charismata. This is chrisma. Written in English, C-H-R-I-S-M-A, chrisma, and it refers to the fact of the Holy Spirit. What has God given you as a believer? He's given all of us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is here to teach us all things of God. That Holy Spirit is within us and helping us to guard against these false teachers, these antichrists. John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him my name, and I will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've told you. God's given you the chrisma, the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And the minute you ask the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, the Holy Spirit came into your life, and he hasn't left you yet, and he won't. Bible says you are sealed until the day of redemption, that no one will snatch you out of my hand. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit in your life, that anointing, that protection, God says, I have given truth to believer with a capital T. What did John tell Thomas in John chapter 14, verse 6? He looked at Thomas right square in the eye after Thomas had questioned him, and he said, Thomas, don't you ever forget, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man ever comes to the Father but by me. And once again, there is that Greek definite article. Wow. The genuine believer knows the truth with a capital T. Be careful. Watch out. Keep your eyes open. Make sure you hear and listen and test the word, test what you are hearing against the word of God. No lie, the Bible says, is of the truth. No matter how attractive, how appealing, no matter how much charisma a person may have, no matter how much you may like that person, if they are teaching a doctrine that is different from the inerrant word of God, the Bible says it is a lie, it is a deception, and you and I ought to run from it. Then there's the fourth thing I want to tell you that John says right here. It's found in verses 22 and 23. The false teaching of the Antichrist. How do you know it's an Antichrist? Little A. John says it very explicit. This is the clincher. He says, who is a liar if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Messiah? That one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. And just in case you didn't understand it in that verse, he repeats it in verse 23. How can you know whether a teaching in particular is a teacher of God? The Bible is specific. Verse 22, there it is. The person who denies that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. If who you're listening to on the radio, watching on television, listening to in Sunday school, reading their book, and they do not confirm over and over and over again that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you better run. Turn off your TV. Quit sending your tithe somewhere else. Put into the church of God. The person who genuinely knows Jesus will see this truth and will run from such teaching. Wow, folks, wow. I keep hearing John's teaching as I was studying this, and I'm going to keep thinking and hearing. He's saying all this going out from among us. They were not a part of us. Make sure that everything you are listening to, everything that you're watching on television and preachers and whatever, that they affirm the fact that Jesus is the only way. We have pastors in our pulpits today saying there are other ways to heaven than through Jesus, not according to this book. And it's time we change the channel. It's time we not look at them anymore. It's time we quit reading their books and go back to the inerrant, infallible Word of God. 1 Peter 5:8 says, you be serious. You be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Remember I told you about false messiahs? It amazes me how many religions, quote, are in stark opposition to evangelical Christianity. They don't even have God as their leader. Some don't. Capital G. In fact, so many of these are just empty philosophies being advanced by empty followers. Listen to something I found this week. Some of you will recognize this name, especially if you're my age or just a little bit younger or older. While members of Congress looked on, Reverend Sun Myung Moon declared himself as the Messiah. In a ceremony that took place in Washington's Dirksen office building on March the 23rd, 2004, get this, Moon wore what appeared to be a white silk stole and a red velvet robe for what he was calling his coronation. The senators of the United States and the congressional members present had been invited to attend what was called and deemed a peace awards banquet. And those who attended did so to witness the honoring of one of their constituents, not Moon. Some lawmakers left prior to the ceremony at the end of such a meeting, and they were even unaware that it took place. Others who stayed were uncertain as to its meaning. Then the 83-year-old Moon, who is the founder and leader of the Unification Church, Moon also owns and still does the Washington Times newspaper, and he still owns the UPI, the United Press International. His 10 children now run all his businesses throughout the United States and the world, and his businesses cover 60 complete pages. The ceremony, now get this, included the placement of ornamental golden crowns upon the heads of Moon and his wife, Dr. Hak Jahan Moon. And the New York Times summarized Moon's speech after being crowned in this statement, and I quote this verbatim: "Emperors, kings, and presidents had declared all heaven and earth that Reverend Sun Myung-moon is none other than humanity's Savior, the Messiah, the returning Lord, and true parent. Does that bother y'all? Does that create in your gut an uneasy feeling that a man is declaring himself and did in 2000s, long before then, but then as the Messiah in the Washington, D.C., in our government? This is what John's talking about. On Monday, September 3rd of this year, last Monday, about 5 o'clock in the morning, Sun Myung-moon died of complications of pneumonia and kidney failure in South Korea. He found out, split second after his death, that he was not the Messiah. No one has that role other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, folks, we're living in the 21st century where people are doing this all the time. The Bible says that just before the time that Jesus Christ is going to come back and get his bride, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have Antichrist, but now you've got people proclaiming themselves to be a Messiah. And if that doesn't make you angry or this gut level uneasiness in your spirit, that's of the Holy Spirit, folks. Let me read you something that will. In the Unification Church's view about Moon's death, this was published in the Washington Times, or New York Times. Listen, it says, Jesus had failed in his mission to purify mankind because he was crucified before being able to marry and have children. Mr. Moon saw himself as completing the unfulfilled task of Jesus to restore humankind to a state of perfection by producing sinless children and by blessing couples who would produce them. He had mass weddings. Folks, that terrifies me. John says, for the true child of God, he will have a passion to make sure who he's talking to and what he or she is listening to is of God, because he is not denying. The true believer will confirm the fact and confess the fact over and over in what he says, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he lived, he died, was buried, and was resurrected on the third day. And he's now exalted at the right hand of the Father, interceding for his kids. John was very emphatic. I'm telling you, I can just see the Gnostics sitting there about this point. They're sliding down in the floor about this point of John's message, because he knows he's hit their error right where it hurts. There are antichrists all around us, folks. Be vigilant, folks. Guard against them. And just as believers in this house experienced such an uneasy feeling a few minutes ago and in their gut, that's the only way I know how to describe that, be conscious of those throughout the week around you, of what you're listening to. And make sure, as John says, you're a child of God. As a genuine child of God, you guard against the Antichrist. Let's pray. Father, we know that the Antichrist is coming. Lord, we know that there are false messiahs and there are false teachers all around us. Give us wisdom, Father. Give us strength. Give us your power in our life. And Father, the minute, the very split second every one of us invited Jesus Christ into our life, that dunamis, that power was given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we are sealed until the day of redemption. Nothing, no one will ever snatch us out of your hand, and we are your child. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. Thank you for that protection of your power. Thank you that we are covered in the blood of Jesus from the top of our head to the bottom of the soles of our feet. And Father, I pray for anyone in this room that can't say that confidently. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. I pray that today people will intentionally invite you into their life, realizing that they've sinned and are a sinner by nature and by choice, and realizing that you are the only way to heaven. Lord, they'll look up to you and say, I'm in need of the Savior of the world. I don't understand all this stuff, but I do know I need you. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin as I turn from that sin to trust you only for my salvation. It's called repentance. Would you do that intentionally this morning? Would you make a new commitment, child of God, in your life to guard against Antichrist this week and from here on out as never before? To be vigilant, to watch. God, give us the strength to do your will and your work this week. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.